Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, this is Corey Thorpe back with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merch, the best in the business since 1974. Always good on a warm day to have that custom jacket that they made me. It is cold when down here in Florida. I bet it's a whole lot colder up in Montana, where I have with me today Coach Kyle Sampson. Coach, what is the temperature in Montana today?
Yeah, probably a little colder than when you're at, I think it's about 15 degrees.
That is slightly colder. Yeah. just by a little bit, you know. Oh, boy. It's a great year for Montana Tech, honestly. You make the playoffs for the first time since who knows when. Do you have an actual date on that?
Yeah, I think the first time since 2016.
So you break that almost a 10-year drought into the playoffs. Of course, unfortunately, you get bounced by future conference mate Dickinson State. We'll get into that in a minute. But looking back over last year, it was kind of a season of inconsistency, especially you host Carroll at home. You have a 2-point loss to an admittedly good Carroll team. But then you bounce back over a good D2 Central Washington, and you have an 8-point win. Was it something that you just kind of had to work out with your guys, you know, getting a consistent effort level?
Yeah, I think the effort was there in that first game. You know, first of all, Carroll's a great team and a big rival. And, we didn't probably play our best game. They played very well that day. But, you know, really proud of how the guys bounced back. And I think that Central Washington win was a really key turning point in our season to go on the road and beat a really good Division II team that ended up making to the quarterfinals of their playoffs. I think that was a big moment for our team this year. And I kind of gave our guys some confidence, and then we kind of went on a good run there for a couple weeks. And, I agree. We kind of had a lot of bursts where, you know, win three or four in a row, and then we lost two in a row in the middle of the season, and then finished the season very strong with three games in a row to get in the playoffs. But, definitely just, and that's one thing I think about this Frontier Conference is it's such a tough league every week. You've got a heck of a battle, and I think that's what makes it fun too, is you got a lot of challenges every single week, and there's some great coaches and great players in this league. And, we were excited to make the playoffs, and now just, you know, getting that taste, and now, you know, going into the off season, really, you know, working to now take that next step in our program.
Yeah. And I know that looking at y'all's resume, when we were prepping for the playoffs, it's like, well, what do we do with Tech? Because you've got these great wins against College of Idaho, against Central Washington, the one to end up against Carroll, and obviously, honestly, at Southern Oregon, that ends up being a really nice win. Southern came on real strong there this year. I was very surprised isn't the right word. I was happy to see that. That's a university with a lot of history to it. So To see that, I know that gave the coaches a little bit of a challenge there. But talk to me about ending strong, getting the bad taste out of your mouth, going into Helena and beating a ranked Carroll team to kind of scratch that first one off the record, so to speak.
Yeah, and this is something that, you know, in the Frontier, this was the first year we kind of had this new schedule where we only played one team twice. For many years, and I've been a player and a coach in this conference for a long time, you play multiple three or four teams twice. And so this was, it's always tough to play a team twice, I think, but especially when they're a really good football team. But, yeah, that was a big deal for us. Our huge rival here at Tech is Carroll, and And I'm from Helena, which is where Carroll's at. And so that was a, you know, going back to my hometown, but it was a big win on the road. You know, we kind of, both teams kind of knew that, you know, if you won that game, you kind of had a chance in the playoffs. And so that was like a playoff game to us. And I thought our guys did a great job that day and really stepped up. And it was a great atmosphere there. And, you know, a huge win for our program, a rivalry game that got us into the playoffs. That was a big deal.
One of the things that I'm really looking forward to, just big picture on the frontier, we already know it is a really solid conference. I'm going to run the numbers again this offseason, but we did kind of a very simplistic breakdown last year, and it was second in the nation in terms of divisions, the toughest division in America, which, for the lack of respect that the frontier often gets, that's saying something. How excited are you to add Dickinson State, to add maybe some other of these teams from the North Star? You hate to see a conference die, but boy, if there's anyone that's going to die, it's going to be the one right next to you where you can finally not have to play anyone twice.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably the biggest thing that I think we're most excited about, is to get to 10 teams with Dickinson and hopefully even possibly get to 12 with a couple more if it works out. You know, just to be able to have that schedule set every year where, you know, you don't got to have a double up. And I think it's always fun. You know, it was awesome this year to play Arizona Christian, a team that we've never played. And they're a really good team that came into our league. And, you know, I think growth's a good thing. And I think it's fun for the players to play some new teams. And, you know, I'm all for it. And I think our new commissioner has done a good job of that. And, you know, and we know that if we get to 12, that we get two automatic bids in the playoffs, which I think is a big deal for this conference as well. But yeah, I'm really excited. Dickinson's obviously a great program. And I think it's just going to enhance our league and, you know, some great competition coming in. And, but yeah, I mean, I'm excited about having 10, and then I'd love to get to 12 if we're able to do that.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, especially when you're adding someone who's won the North Star 74,000 years in a row. You know, either they're going to rise to the top, or they're going to sink down a little. I'm not sure which. And I, given their championship proclivity, they'll figure out a way to rise to the top. They've got great folks over there in Dickinson, but getting that second playoff bid to allow for that second auto bid to allow for that, I think really does. You see what it did for the KCAC this year, you know, and how much that helped them with Evangel coming in and seeing that. You gotta love it. You gotta love how the NAI does it with an auto bid being an auto bid, and you're not gonna take some guy who's won their conference and keep them out of the playoffs.
Yeah,
So let's take a look at your team. What you got coming back? Looking forward to next year. You returned a ton of your offense, whether it's Blake Thielen, who almost threw for 3,000 yards last year, 24 touchdowns, a 61% completion percentage, whether it's Lander Smith at running back, who ran for 730 in a backfield that had Blake Counts in it, who had 507 of his own, or whether it's Wyatt Alexander, who had about a third of your receiving yards by his lonesome at 1109. Bring back a couple of all-conference offensive linemen, a first-teamer, and an honorable mention there. And what excites you most about your offense coming back?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we essentially return, you know, 9 starters, which is really exciting. And we lose some really good seniors off this group that had great careers for us. But just the experience, we've got so many guys that have been here with me now since I've been the head coach. And it's always nice to return a 2-year starter. We'll be a 3-year starter at quarterback. Blake's had a great career for us. And then, like you said, Landers, you know, Blake Counts, our 4-time all-conference running back, unfortunately got hurt in week 6 and then couldn't finish the season with a broken shoulder. And Landers was our fullback, and he stepped in and, you know, ran for 100 yards, I think 5 out of the 6 games that he was in. So, and then receiver-wise, I think we're as talented, as deep as we've ever been. Getting Wyatt back, Jordan Jackson was a kid I think would have been an all-conference guy. He got hurt in the middle of the season and didn't finish because of injury, but he'll be fine for spring ball. We actually return an all-conference guy that missed this whole year. Kyle Torgerson was an all-conference player last year for us, tore his knee last spring. Actually got to play in a little bit of the Carroll game and the Dickinson game once he got back. So we'll get him back full-time. And then, we're really excited. His little brother played for us this year, Levi Torgerson, in the slot. And then we've got some good young guys coming up. And then I think, you know, as you well know, we returned four starters on the O-line. I think that's such a huge deal to have that consistency. A lot of these guys, this will be their third or fourth year starting for us. And, you know, when you got that camaraderie up front and the ability to trust each other, I think that's a big deal. So, yeah, we're really excited about what we have offensively coming back. You know, now we've had a really good offense the last 2 years. Now we got to take that next step and, you know, we want to compete for a championship and, I'm really excited about the guys and not just the talent level, but, we've got some really good leaders in that offense that, you know, I think can take our team to that next level.
It's kind of scary thinking about taking a team to the next level when you had basically seven yards per play.
Yeah.
As an offense, but the advanced metrics say that there is some room for improvement there, which is crazy at that point, saying that it was the 25th best offense. 7.04, that'll do most drives.
Yeah, we're not mad about that, but yeah, definitely we know we can get better for sure.
Defensively, you've got some holes to fill, especially along the D-line, but in terms of your linebackers, your defensive backs, you've got a lot coming back. Cole Wyatt with 102 tackles anchors your linebacking core, a first-teamer there, all frontier. And Matt Whitcomb and Angel Sanchez, the third, anchoring that defensive backfield with 83 and 60 tackles, respectively. 12 pass breakups between the two of them. Man, you almost wish you could have converted those into a couple more picks.
Yeah, we're really excited about the back half. Like I said, starting with Cole, a guy that's been a multiple-year starter for us. He'll actually end up being a four-year starter at linebacker, is our team captain. Really excited about what he did and just having him coming back for his senior year next year. And then, like you said, we return a lot of guys in the secondary, Matt, our nickel, and then Angel, one of our corners, guys that have played a lot of football, and then, you know, return a lot of guys as far as our safeties. Our other corners back, and then both of our linebackers that played next to Cole are both returners as well. Like you said, we very veteran in the back half and the linebacker core. We'll be very new and young in the D line, and so that's a big thing recruiting wise. We feel like we've got some young kids coming up that we're really excited about, and then definitely looking to fill a couple of immediate needs up front. And we feel like we've maybe done that with a couple of transfers that we brought in for this second semester. But you know, we just gotta continue to work and get better. And then, you know, another big need right now is filling our defensive coordinator spot. Coach Williams left to go be the head coach at Willamette University in Oregon. So really happy for him and proud of him that he got a head coaching job. And so now just kind of looking to replace him, which will be a big deal. And hopefully have that here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, that is a big spot to fill. And I love watching guys grow, you know, from obviously within the NAI, but making it all the way, you know, up to the higher levels and up to the highest levels, actually, as, you know, as we're recording this, we'll watch tonight. We'll talk about that more later. But one thing before I leave your roster is, Coach, you got to tell me, Andrew Almos's punts there, 45.6 yard average. Like, please tell me that the elevation in Montana is inflating that number. That's ridiculous at this level.
Yeah, he's a stud. You know, he was a high school quarterback and came here and it was a punter as well in high school and was playing some DB for us early on in his career and then went to full-time punter and has been just an absolute weapon. We didn't punt the ball very much this year, an average of, you know, two times a game. But when he did, he was, you know, flipped the field for our defense and he was – one thing I think he did a great job at this year was really pinning guys inside the 20. I don't have the stats in front of me, but he did a great job of that. You know, those shorter kicks where he's got to pin them, but then when we needed a boomer, he was able to flip the field. And it's such a weapon, and we're really excited to have him back, you know, after being a first-team All-American this year to have him back one more year. And I really feel like Andrew's got an opportunity at that position to possibly get some NFL looks. And, you know, to me, it's, if you can kick, you can kick. It doesn't matter what level you're playing at. And, you know, that's pretty cool. He's done a great job. He's a local kid from here in Great Falls, Montana. He's a one of the smartest kids on our team, a 3.9 GPA and an engineering student. So just one of those kids that you just, it's hard not to root for. He's such a great kid off the field and takes a lot of pride in what he does, though.
I do happen to have the statistics pulled up offhand. That 16 of 26 kicks were inside the 20.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
Now, one of the things about Montana Tech, they're one of the few NAIA teams that just on my Facebook every so often, I'll see Montana Tech. Why? Because it's Bob Green, and Bob Green has some of the best one-liners that I've... Look, the man was like the Yogi Berra of football with with his greenisms. Were oh, absolutely man. Fantastic. Do you have a favorite greenism?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I he's got a new one for me every day. He comes into the office, so he can just spit them out. But I talk about a great guy that still he still comes into the athletic building every single day to work out and comes to all of our games, even if we're on the road. He travels with our AD, and I've had the opportunity to get to know him really well. Do some golfing with him in the spring. He loves to golf. When the springtime hits, he's golfing every single day. And so I've been able to play in a couple tournaments with him on our scramble team, and he's actually a pretty dang good golfer. And, a great guy that, like you said, one of the funniest guys in the world that, and has all these one-liners, but was a heck of a coach when he was here. And he's also a huge supporter of our program still, which is pretty cool. You know, he's been out of it. He retired, I believe, in 2010 or 2011. And, Still, like I said, still comes by the office every single day to say hello. And but yeah, he's always got something for me and for everybody. And I don't know if I could pick one. I think that's a hard one because he's got so many good ones.
Oh man, if I ever need a good laugh, I just pull up a Bob Green compilation. Those yeah. are just they're absurd. It's like how did you come up with that? Like, did you like plan this the night before?
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Oh, man. And then tonight, as we're recording, this is the national championship game. And one of the coolest things about this year's national championship game, although I'm a Florida State fan, obviously, y'all know, but tonight I'm a Washington fan, and it's because of Kalen DeBoer, the former Sioux Falls head coach, NAIA guy. And y'all have a coach that's coaching in, a former coach that's coaching in there as well. Talk about the impact of a program like Washington, or at a smaller level in North Alabama, and their openness to bringing in guys from our level to showcase their coaching talent.
Yeah, I think it's pretty awesome. And, you know, like I said, the guy that hired me here, Coach Morrell, you know, was our head coach when I first came here in 19, and now he's the defensive coordinator for Kalen at Washington, which is pretty cool. You know, and they all started together at Sioux Falls. And, you know, I think it just kind of goes to show you that, you know, there's great coaches all across this country, and a lot of times they just need a shot. And, you know, it's pretty awesome, you know, like I said, being an NAIA guy myself, and to see, you know, guys that have coached at this level have done so tremendous things at all different types of levels. And now to have an NAIA guy that is coaching to win the national title tonight, that's pretty awesome. He's obviously been successful everywhere he's been, you know, and I think it's great for the NAIA. I think it's great for any coach, you know, across the country that has a dream, right? If you want something, go get it and keep working hard for it. And he's obviously a great role model and example for everybody, you know, at this level that, you know, I really believe it. And I believe it, you know, whether it's NAIA or if it's high school, there's great coaches all across the country. They don't necessarily have to be at the Division I level to be a great coach. And I think he's showing that, you know, where he came from, you know, he's one of the best coaches in the country right now. And that's really cool. And it's cool for me as well, like I said, to have the guy that hired me here to now be coaching, being his defensive coordinator tonight. And yeah, we're all definitely watching. And it's going to be a fun night to watch the Huskies play.
I mean, what a great week for the home office in Kansas City. Not only do you have Kalen DeBoer coaching in their national championship game, you've got a guy who, for South Dakota, Jason Freeman, who was a star at Olivet Nazarene. Kid racked up 30 tackles in one dadgum game at Olivet. I will never forget that stat. That is absurd. Starring for South Dakota, winning his second consecutive national championship, and from what I'm told, they talked about his NAIA beginnings. Man, what a great week it is to be the NAIA. Free publicity out the ears.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's really cool. That's a great thing for our level and our league. And like I said, just kudos to those guys for all the work they put in to get to where they're at. It's pretty awesome.
Now, Coach, we know one thing is true about building a football program or any other area of life, is that if you're not constantly striving to improve yourself, to better yourself, you're going to be falling behind. That's just the way things are. So what area of your program, whether it's on the field, off the field, are y'all really looking to improve on and home in on in 2024?
You bet. I think it always starts, you know, one thing we always talk about is continuing to improve our leadership, coaches and players included, and continuing just to, you know, grow our level of leadership and our level of accountability within our program and continue to grow our culture. I think we've got a very strong culture here that we've worked hard to build. But we always say, you know, it can be torn down in a second. It takes a long time to build, and we've got to look ourselves in the mirror and be proud of where we're at, but definitely not satisfied, right? We've got to continue to work. We've got a lot of things to improve on, but I would just say that leadership piece from coaches and players included. And then, you know, obviously there's a lot of stuff we can improve on the football field, but I think the off-season stuff is where we really build those championship type teams. And so that's kind of our focus right now is, you know, just keep working in the off-season, but improving our leadership, improving our accountability with each other, and then taking that to the field once we get to that point, where I'm a big believer that, you know, relationships and people win championships, not X's and O's. I mean, obviously X's and O's are a big part of football, but, you know, we got to have the right people. And in order to have championship level teams, it's a people business, in my opinion, and you got to surround yourself with great people. And I'm fortunate to have that here at Tech, and just really looking forward to getting back to work. Our guys started school today. This was their first day of school. We'll get into our off-season workouts a week from today on Monday. And, you know, just excited to get back to work and really excited about the experience we have coming back. And then looking forward to this spring, you know, giving our young guys in our program a lot of opportunity with spring ball and seeing what they can do to, you know, compete to get on the field.
That's always the fun part is spring ball and seeing who's going to rise to the top, who's been putting in the work in the off season, who's been sitting there since you know, November and has that bad taste in their mouth, and who's looking to purge that. But man, I'm so looking forward to Frontier Conference football coming up in the fall. Looking forward to see what Tech has to offer. Looking forward to see how which tiebreaker that we're going to have to use this year to decide the Frontier, because Lord knows there's always a three-way tiebreaker in this league.
Always.
You know, and it's just fun to have to figure all that out. But thanks for coming on with us tonight. We appreciate you, and we'll see if this ages well. But go Huskies!
All right, man. Well, hey, I appreciate you, and thanks for all that you guys do and promoting our great sport and promoting NAIA football. And appreciate you having me on, and hope you have a great off season here.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. Thanks also to our newest sponsor, Telemetry Sports. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to the podcast and to our YouTube channel, and leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAFball and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.